All right, 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Look at 1 John in chapter number 4. And we'll read verse number 16 down to the end of the chapter in 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 16, been praying for the service tonight. I've been seeking the Lord and His direction, and I know the Lord wants me to share this tonight. I never preached this, but somebody needs this. So 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Let's pray one more time. Father, Lord, I love you, and I thank you, God, for your love. Help me, please. Lord, I know you've given me some things here that you want me to share. I pray for that heart that, Lord, you're speaking to. Lord, it would be receptive, it would listen. It would be that a young man or a young lady that, God, you've been stirring in their heart, and maybe they may be trying to push that away. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would work on hearts tonight. Help us all. And Lord, we all have needs. May the Holy Spirit encourage us, strengthen us, rebuke us, whatever we need tonight. And Father, we love you. And Lord, I need you. Just please bless this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In 2008... my sister, Crystal, we were super close. I'll probably talk more about her tomorrow. She was just under 3 years younger than me, but very close. And in 2008, she called me, and there was someone that she knew. That person had a daughter that was out in the world. And, I mean, you name the sin, she was involved in it. And alcohol and drugs, living off the street. And she had a baby, this girl did. And her name was Alicia. And this guy called my sister in 2008 and said, "Could you please take Alicia?" The mom was neglecting her. She wasn't being taken care of because of all of her addictions and problems. And Crystal and her husband prayed about it, and they got full custody of Alicia. They brought her into their home, and we were all excited about it. And my sister and her husband had a son, and they were told they could never have children again. And so they were excited to bring in Alicia. She was 6 months old, brought her into the house, and we all went over that first night, me, my family, my parents, my other sister and all her family, to meet the six-month-old Alicia. She was adorable. She sat there, and my sister was trying to feed her, and was feeding her squashed peas. I'll never forget that. I love peas. I'm not eating squashed peas out of a baby jar, but I love peas, right? And but they were feeding Alicia squashed peas, and Alicia did not like the squashed peas. And as soon as she put it in her mouth, Alicia was like, and just they all went everywhere. And I reached over, because I had a napkin in front of me, I reached over to wipe her chin. And when I reached over, that baby went, baby thought I was going to hit it. She had been hurt and abused. At 6 months old, she feared a hand reaching towards it. She started crying. I started crying. My sister started crying. For a six-month-old to be afraid of a hand that was being reached out. It really broke my heart, and began to pray for Alicia, and because I loved her, and I definitely didn't want her afraid of me. In this passage of Scripture, I tell you that story because I want you to know some things. I want you to know, number one, that God loves you. God loves you. He loves every one of you. It says in verse number 8, it says, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." We talked about last night, or first night, how he's meek and lowly. He is love. Verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God loves you. I think all of us can quote John 3:16. I'll never forget, I did a winter camp, and you had a memory, scripture memory bee or something, and like 8 kids missed John 3:16. And I was just like, that's crazy. So I went home to our teens. I said, quote John 3:16. And they like all missed it. So you're better than they were, right? But let's all say it together. John 3:16, ready? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him
should not perish,
but have everlasting life." I heard a couple ons and ends and shalls and shoulds, all right? All right? But you get it, all right? All right? Yeah, all right? But you get the idea. God loved us, and that's what this verse is saying here, that he manifested this love in sending his Son for us. And I think everybody in this room knows this. I'm not introducing the gospel to anyone. But I do pray, and I've prayed all week, that everyone in this room, that you will leave this place knowing that Christ is your Savior. God loves you. He sent his Son. What a sacrifice. You know, I without a doubt, I mean this with all my heart, if it came down to it, some guy, making up a story here, some guy came and pointed a gun, you know, to you and me and said, "All right, it's either them or you. I'll take it." Not a problem. I like Brother Mike. Brother Mike, he watched me catch some fish today. I did pretty good, didn't I? Yeah, you all went to eat. I was sacking them up. All right, all right. And we were talking. If someone came and said, "All right, it's either Brother Mike or you," I'd give my life for him. I mean that. But if it was me, Brother Mike, and my son, see you in heaven. Right? I appreciate him and I love him, but I love my son. God loved you so much, he gave his son for you. And that was nothing that just came up at a whim. Before the foundation of the world, he was the lamb slain. Before he ever created this world, God said, "I love Travis Burke so much, I'm willing." And Jesus said, "I am willing to go." Because he's the only one who could pay for our sins. As much as I would love to save you and you save me, if we were lost tonight, we can't, because we all have the same problem. We're all sinners. I can't pay for your sin. You can't pay for my sin. There's only been one person who's ever walked on this earth who is worthy to pay for our sins. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect and holy and righteous. The blood that flowed through his veins was not blood like ours. It was the blood of the Son of God. It is perfect and righteous and holy without blemish. Amen. And that blood was shed for our sins.
Amen.
He left heaven, the right hand of God, the praise, the glory, to be made in the fashion of a man. And if that wasn't enough, he became obedient unto death. And if that wasn't enough, even the death of the cross. what they did to our Lord on the cross, and we've probably seen pictures and flashcards and Sunday school lessons, and nothing could ever come close to what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Mm-hmm. And we know this. I'm not sharing anything new. I know you know this, but sadly we get used to it. All that he went through was for us. It came to a point, and in my personal opinion, but all that agony, and the prophet would even say that if you looked upon him, you would not even tell that's the visage of a man. He literally, his body was torn. But there came a point when the first time and only time in all of eternity when God the Father had to turn his back on his Son. That's when everything went dark. And I believe everything went dark because man couldn't have borne to watch when Jesus took all of our sins upon himself on that cross. Mm-hmm. Jesus cried out, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've learned this and remember this as you study the Bible. Anytime Jesus ever asked a question, he wasn't looking for an answer. He already knows. But he was always teaching. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, when he said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. But Adam needed to realize where he was. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We need to stop. Why did a holy God have to turn his back on his only begotten Son? The answer? You? Me? This is the ultimate greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. The fact that he came and he died upon the cross and God was willing to send his Son, Jesus was willing to die for our sins, it ought to cause every one of us to get on our knees tonight and say, thank you, God, amen, for such love.
Amen.
He manifested this love. He showed this love to us because God is love. He loves you. And if you're ever going through your mind, does God really love me? Then, my friend, get it settled right now. God does love you. Now, that's not the point of the sermon, but it's important. God doesn't just love you. You know, God could have taken any title he wanted to. When we get to the New Testament, God takes a title that shows something. And the title that God takes in the New Testament, he could have chose whatever he wanted to, but he chose this, Father. When we pray, we'll talk to the Father. Why did he take that title? I mean, he could have, God, I could go through all kinds of titles he could have taken, and every one of them he's worthy of, but why Father? For the same reason that when my wife called today and said, I was talking to her and she said, Grace, that's my oldest daughter. She's married and she's the one with the little bitty baby. And if any of you want to see my little grandchild, please come see me. I will show you, right? But Grace is really sick. Not sure what's going on. She's got a really high fever. She's really sick. She's going through all kinds of things that they're going to try to get looked at tonight. She's really sick. My heart was like, oh, my daughter's sick. My heart hurt more because her husband, my son-in-law, is a lieutenant in the fire department. And he just got that position a month ago. And by the way, he's the youngest man ever in the state of Ohio to get promoted to lieutenant. I'm pretty proud of that. That's pretty good, right? And but he's a man of good character. He loves the Lord. But unfortunately, because he just got that position, he's not allowed to take off. He's not allowed to miss. He has to be there tonight. My heart just hurt that my daughter's sick. She's got that little baby. So my wife said, I'm going to go over there tonight. I said, good. And then my wife called me back 20 minutes before I came over here. My wife is sick now. I'm so glad I'm here. All right, yeah, all right. But she's sick. And she said, I can't, so she's taking my 15-year-old daughter to go sit with Grace. And my heart just hurts. Because that's my kids. It's my wife. My son, as I was sitting back there behind Pastor Hammett, my son, my phone's out in the car, but my watch went off. I looked at it. It was my son. I scrolled down to see what he said. He said, Dad, I'm praying for you tonight. He could have chose any title he wanted to, but he chose Father because you know what? That's the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. An intimate, close, when you have a need. Every dad, my daughter, Hope, she's 15. When Hope came to me right in the middle of winter, and she said, hey, Dad. She goes, I hate asking you this. She said, I'm sorry. And she held up her shoe, and it had a hole in the bottom of it. She goes, my feet are cold. I was like, why didn't you tell me? She goes, I just didn't want you to worry about it. She said, what'd you do? We hopped in the car. We went and bought a pair of shoes, right? I didn't say, well, frostbite for you, girl, right? No, I took her. Why? I want to do that. I'm her father. When they hurt, I hurt. When they're happy, I'm happy. When they have a need, I want to meet it. That's why Jesus referred to himself as the great shepherd. He watches over us just like a shepherd will make sure his sheep are fed and nourished and provided for and protected and guided. And the sheep know their voice. I always laugh at church. We have so many babies right now at our church. It's crazy. Like our church, we're going to be 60 years old in just a couple years. And we've had one nursery for 57 years, one nursery. We had to make a second nursery. I told you that, right? And because we have, right now, we have 18 babies under two. That's crazy! But good for the future, all right? But it's crazy, all right? So many babies everywhere. But I laugh. I'll be up there on the platform, and you'll hear a baby crying. And every mother in that auditorium goes, and then one gets up. Just one. Because they all stop and listen. But the one that knows the voice of their child goes. Every time you bow your head, if you just did what Pastor Gable said, when you bowed your head and said, God said, yes, he inclines his ear to us. Isn't that awesome? You know what that means, inclined. It's my favorite chapter in the Bible personally is Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, now the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I'm thankful for what God did for me. And the day that I cried out to God, he pulled me out. Amen. He set me on a rock because he loves me. God loves you. And this love, we're talking this week about living in this sweetest place on earth in the center of God's will. And that is found in the security of God's love. To know that he loves you and to know that you love him. And when you're walking in the will of God, there is a sweetness there. A joy there, an understanding. Verse number 19, look at it again. It says, we love him. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. I love in Deuteronomy, whenever Moses stands before all of Israel, when you read the Bible, you need to think about it. And there's some things you just got to like chuckle sometimes. It's like, this is awesome, right? And Moses gets up and gets all of Israel together. He goes, why doth the Lord thy God love thee? And they're all just like, and his answer is, because he loves you. That's so important to understand. He didn't love Israel because how many they were, or how great they were, or how powerful they were, or how weak they were. He loved them because he chose to. You know why God loves us? Not that we deserve it, but he's chosen to love us. Amen. He loves every one of us. And when we understand his love, we then want to love him. We reciprocate that love. And when you begin to walk in that love, then you have this sweetness that everybody's talking about. You know, I know we have some newlyweds here. Don't put your head down. You're not praying. All right, all right. I'll sit back here in the back. I was watching the newlyweds. They're adorable. Right? She. Sorry. She puts her head over on him. He hugs her. It's adorable. Serious. Love brings security, closeness. Some of you are struggling in your relationship and enjoying this sweetness that's being talked about this week because you haven't grasped the love yet. And the Bible says, look down there, again in verse number 16, we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, verse 17 tells us when this love is getting where it should be. Herein is our love. Now, God's love, it's perfect. It's perfect. But herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. When that love is where it should be in our life, it throws out fear. That's what perfecting love, when our love reaches the place where it should be, that word perfect means complete, mature, when we reach that point where our love is where it should be, fear's gone. Now, I don't mean like the emotion of fear. Every emotion God gave you is good. You know, I was fishing and brother here looked at me and said, yeah, he said, they've cleared all this out. He said, it used to be full of snakes. There are very few things I fear. But one of the things I fear, I can't stand snakes. Even the non-poisonous ones will kill me. I can't stand them. About my last year being the youth leader at our church before I became pastor, a bunch of the boys, our church is out in the middle of the sticks. No one just drives by our church. You have to aim to go there, right? And this past summer, Pastor Hammett and his family were just passing through the area, and they came. I was like, that was not an accident. They had to come out of their way to come here, right? But we're out there in the sticks, and some of the boys, teen boys, they saw a big snake, and they killed it. I mean, big snake. They put it in the front seat of my car. Now, I didn't know, and I walked out. I'm heading to my car, and I look down in the seat, and I see the snake. And I wanted to be like, just pass out, right? And I look up, and I see the boys over there acting like they're talking, doing this. So I knew what happened. They're watching. I took a deep breath because I knew if I totally panicked here and just acted like a baby, there were going to be more snakes in the car in the days ahead. So I took a deep breath, and I opened the door, and I picked up the snake. And I said, guys, I've been fishing all my life. I've been around in the woods. This doesn't scare me. And I threw it down, got in the car, and pulled off. I drove a half a mile, pulled over, and cried. I'm not kidding about that. Yeah. I was like, oh. but I did it. And they never put another snake in my car again, all right? But when he said that tonight, I was like, oh, all right. If a snake slithered in, you're on your own. Fear is good. God gave us fear for reasons, right? There's some things we should be afraid of. But this is not talking about a phobia. This is talking about a different type of fear. When perfect love is there, it removes fear. And I just want you to get a couple thoughts on this tonight, and I hope this will help some of us in trying to encourage in what where we should be. And number one, it removes the fear of rejection. Of rejection. It says again, there's no fear in love. The fear of rejection. I am so thankful that, you know, I talk about my wife. I love her. I adore her. I'm so thankful for her and the love that God's given us. And I'm thankful that I'm not worried about going home and she's saying, you're not allowed in here. We have accepted each other. We love each other. The fear of rejection is this, that a lot of people live their life when that you'll know the love is where it should be when you do not fear this with God, that God doesn't accept you. That God's going to leave you. I am thankful of Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6, that he hath now made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
You and I have been accepted by God. And praise the Lord, he gave us the Spirit of God. We are sealed to the day of redemption. You have been accepted. If you are saved, you're God's. He's your Father, and that will never, ever change.
Amen.
Don't begin to start doubting God's salvation. Don't forget, I just tell you one of my pet peeves. God, Jesus in his ministry, he never preached doubt. I don't ever get up and preach doubt. Because Jesus never did. Because you can abuse that. Jesus always preached truth. And those that are lost, the Holy Spirit of God will convict you. Can I tell you real quick a difference? Some people live in fear in their Christian life. I literally, last night, after all of our services and everything, my phone buzzed and I told Pastor Gabe, I was like, I need to go call my wife. It wasn't my wife. It was this other person. And it was a young lady that she's been through a lot of tragedy. My wife and I did a lot of counseling with her. And she's trying to get back on her feet, but she is just struggling so much and doubting, does God hate me? Does God still love me? Does God... And the devil torments people with that. He torments. Because fear brings torment. And it brings torment. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath what? Life. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him, what? But have
everlasting life.
If you could lose it, then God lied in that verse. But you have it. You have that life. It's yours. That's why, as an illustration there in the book of Luke, when one sinner repents, there's what in heaven? There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, they rejoice. If you could lose that salvation, there'd be a lot of mood swings in heaven. I mean, serious. I'm just talking about Brother Gable's life, right? He'd be like, right? Not accounting my life or your life. They rejoice because it's settled.
Amen.
You have been accepted. When you come to a place where you're walking with him and that love is where it should be, your love is being perfected, you will not fear rejection. That when you pray to him, he listens. He said, ask and ye shall receive. He told us to call upon him. But fear, when fear's there, we think, well, God just isn't listening to me. God's not helping me. Or that God, people say, and I've told you this before already, I feel that God is so distant from me. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, I will never leave thee. Nor forsake thee. Our sin will make us feel that way. In a lack of this walk with God that we're talking about this week, and that perfected love will make you feel that way because it will bring back the fear. Fear brings torment. But I'm thankful tonight that when that love is perfected, that you and I, the fear of rejection will be removed. We won't feel like God's just trying to use us, or God's ever going to hurt us. My mom's favorite passage of scripture, we even got it. I thought it'd be really nice one year, and I got her personalized license plates for her truck, her little truck. She never goes anywhere, hardly. She has a 2003 Chevy Colorado. It's just a little bitty truck. It's got 78,000 miles on it. That's a 2021 Nissan. I've got 128,000 miles on it, right? But she already goes in there. But I thought one year, it was like 6 years ago, I was like, I'm going to get my mom personalized plates for her birthday. And I put her favorite verse, which is Psalm 63:3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That's her favorite verse. And I put Psalm 63:3 on that. It's a great, she loves it. The only problem is you have to renew those personalized plates. That is the gift that keeps on taking from me, right? Thing's expensive, but I don't have the heart to get it back. I'm going to get your regular plates now, right? But she loves that because God's loving kindness. I love that word loving kindness. You know what it means? That's his love towards us. That's how he describes how he treats us. He is not here to use you. God's up in heaven just wanting to make my life miserable. No, he wants to show his loving kindness. And loving kindness, if you look up the word, it says a mother holds a brand new baby. That's how he loves you. He adores you, watches over you. It takes away the fear of rejection. Also, when the love is where it should be, it takes away the fear in relationships. Again, give me a second on this. Look down there in verse number 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? It removes the fear in relationships. You say, Pastor Burke, what are you talking about? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, it really summarizes how our relationships should all be. All of you should look at me, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and love me as a father. Sorry. Who's your daddy? All right, no, all right. You're supposed to love me as a father. Love all the elderly men as a father. Respect, honor, obey. You know, want, like we talked about today, guys, to spend time with them. You are to look at all the elderly ladies and love them as a mother. Same respect, same honor. But here's the part we're going to get to it, right? And to your peers as brothers and sisters. You're to love each other. I am so glad for the day, and it's a constant battle, but that we got rid of this whole dating philosophy out of my church, where 13-year-olds were dating so-and-so, and isn't it? It's a waste of time, my friends. And it's disobedient to the scriptures. I love my sister Crystal. I love my sister Rachel. But I ain't dating them. But I'm going to defend them. And I like spending time with them. And we have fun together. And I love them. They love me. You are to treat each other as brothers and sisters in this room. My mom, me and my sister Crystal, when we were young, I was like 7 and she was so immature. But we would argue a lot. My mom had to correct that. And the worst punishment and the thing that totally changed my life, she would say, sit down, both of you. And then I would have to, as a 7-year-old, hold my 4-year-old sister's hand. It was brutal. I would have rather had a switch and a rod to me any day than hold her hand. Because that's not what you do. We're to treat each other and love each other. Can I encourage you? If you're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, you're not getting married in the next year. Just love each other in a Christ-like love. Amen. And I don't know. I don't even know where all your churches stand. And if your pastor says something different, your pastor's right. But it only leads to problems when you start relationships at such a young age, because you have nowhere to go but sin.
Amen.
Now, you get to be a senior after your senior year, heading off into life here. Okay. Start praying and now seeking the Lord. But until then, love each other like brothers and sisters. And this may sound like something, I'm not going to stay on it long, but when you have the right kind of love in your life, you'll love each other. If there's someone on the stream who's like, I can't stand them, I hate them, you don't know God like you should. That's what the Bible says. He that loveth not knoweth not God. I can't stand that person. Then you need to get to know God more. You're testifying, I'm carnal. Because you don't know God. But learn to love each other. It removes all of this. It helps you with your relationship with authorities. It helps you with your relationship with elderly people, your own parents, whenever you have this love with God. It removes fear. The fear of rejection, the fear in relationships. And if you want to say, well, I'm struggling loving everybody in this room. It's really in the verses, in verse number 7. You just glance at these verses while I say it. You can't possibly love people like you should unless you're saved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. You have to be saved. If you're not saved today, you're right, you're going to really bad struggle. You have to be born of God. You have to be saved, and in verse number 8, you have to grow in the Lord. If you're not walking with the Lord and in His Word, and you don't know God, you're not going to love. And then you watch and see how God, in verse number 9, you look and examine how God manifested His love toward us. And it'll help you love each other. Because look at me. I didn't deserve God's love. But He reached out to me. There's some people you're just like, I don't know them. I can't love them. Reach out to them. Well, they haven't done nothing for me. You didn't do nothing for God either. But He chose to reach out to you. And love people like He loves. But I'll close. It removes the fear of rejection, the fear in relationships. And in verse number 17, when the love is right, it removes the fear, I'm playing with words here, but of the rapture. Verse 17, here is in our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When your love's right, you're not scared to death that the Lord's coming back tonight. Which, by the way, He could. I understand. I understand. I mean, I remember when I was a young person, and I was just like, here I'd be preaching the Lord could come back tonight, and I'd be like, I really want to drive. That would be so cool, God, then you can come. And then I got my license, and they were like, the Lord could come back. I was like, I've worked hard. I want to graduate high school, get a diploma. And I got to do that. And they're like, well, the Lord can come back. I'd really like to get married. And then I got married. Now I'm just like, even so, come quickly, Lord. All right, no, I'm kidding. All right, yeah, all right. That was a joke. But in case, all right. Now, I understand there's things, you know, I'd really like, I understand that. I get that. I understand it, all right. But when He comes, and it could be tonight, those whose love is not being perfected, that scares you to death. Those who are doing and where you should be will bring a boldness in the day of judgment. It doesn't mean we're going to be strutting in to stand before God, but it means this, I love Him. There are times that my dad, he said, hey, come here, I need to talk to you. And I was like, yes, sir. Because first I do a quick self-examination. Did I do anything stupid? No, I don't think so, right? And I walk over and he talks to me, it's great. There's been other times when he said, hey, I need to talk to you. Come see me. And I was like, oh, no. Because I knew. I was hoping he didn't know, but he knew. What's it talking about? Boldness in the day of judgment when that love is perfected. Well, here's the summary and we're done. When we love Him, now He loves us. That's just that question. When we love Him, what do we know is going to be evident in our life? John says it repeatedly. Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me, what? We don't, again, just reiterating this, we don't obey to earn His love. He already loves you. Because He loves us, we love Him. But when we love Him, we want to do what's right. And we want to obey Him. We want to do these things that we know pleases Him. And when you're walking in that life where you love God and you know He loves you and you're wanting to obey Him, you're in 1 John. Turn back to chapter number 2 real quick. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse number 3. 1 John 2 and verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, what? Perfected. This is what we want, that sweetest life on earth, all right? It's, you know, you say, well, I said, I'll do your will. All right, that's great, great first start, but you're not going to experience the sweetest life until you start doing the will of God. Do you start obeying? So you start doing what you know is right and obeying his commands. Simple thing. If you got a job and you don't tithe, you're not going to enjoy the sweetest life on earth. Simple things. You don't read your Bible ever in your personal Bible time, you're never going to do. You don't go soul winning. There's all kinds of things you know we should do. If you're not doing what you know you should do, well, I like looking at this stuff. No one else knows about it. You're never going to enjoy the sweetest life. I like gossip and I like whatever. Fill in the blank. You're never going to have the sweetest life. But when you obey him, and I love back in our text, look at this, right? Then I'll close with the end of my story. It says there, verse number 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, well, what does that mean? As he is, so are we. That's an interesting phrase, right? As he is, so are we. The day that I got saved, God forgave my sin, and he gave me his righteousness. That blows my mind. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When a holy God looks down upon me and all of us that are saved, he doesn't see the sinners that we are. He sees the righteousness of his son. That's a miracle of miracles, and all I can do is say thank you, God, for that. As he is, so are we. Your love is perfected when you are living as Christ would have you to live. And when that happens, life is sweet. When that happens, there's joy. My niece, Alicia, it pushed me to study on adoption. I've written out a bunch of stuff on adoption because I did a lot of studying on it, because God the Father uses adoption as a picture of our relationship with him. And so it's absolutely a wonderful thing, and I don't know if there's any that have been adopted in this room. If you have, thank God for godly parents who would bring you into their home, all right? And they adopted my niece, Alicia. They brought her in, but she struggled. Rebellious. And I tried to help my sister. I was her pastor. I talked to her, I counseled her, spent time with her. I did everything I could, but something inside of her little mind said, I want my real mom. That real mom who's living in a car. That real mom who spins in and out of prison. That real mom who doesn't even care about her. But everything's going to be great when I get my real mom. By the way, adoption in the Bible, it's just an interesting study. God adopted us the moment you got saved. That's settled. But no, read it sometime and study it. We have to receive the spirit of adoption. And it's never in our life what it should be until we receive the spirit of adoption. It's a big deal, and I hope you get a hold of this. Alicia never received the spirit of adoption. My sister, my brother-in-law. 3 years ago, my sister Crystal, just so close to her. She taught kindergarten in our class, in our school. She in charge of our 4 and 5 year old junior church. Just involved in choir, every ministry we had, her hand is there. She ate dinner with her family, and I know a lot of you know this pain. She ate dinner with her family. She went upstairs and collapsed. 36 years old. Had a blood clot no one knew about. She's in heaven. I'm thankful I'll see her again. I miss her. And Alicia starts saying, I want out of here. I want my mom. And she really went a bad direction. And a lot of details I'm not going to go into, but heard my brother-in-law decided they put her in a place, in a Christian home, to try to help her. And I write her every week. Every week I write her. I've always told her this, and she was like old enough to remember. I said, Alicia, God has a great plan for your life. To take her out of what she could have been in and to put her where she was, God had a reason for that. And I told her over and over and over and over again. This past May, she would write me back occasionally. This past May, I opened up a letter. It said, Dear Uncle Travis, I got saved Sunday. It was awesome. And she said, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for helping. And then she wrote at the bottom something she never ever wrote before. She said, I love you. She's going to get baptized here in about 2 Sundays. I'm going to go over and be there. Just excited about it. Pray for her. But she never got it until she got God's love. She wrote in that letter, I really miss my mom, and she wasn't talking about that drug addict. I said, I do too, Lacey. You and God. Is there fear? Because perfect love gets rid of that. You won't fear what he wants to do with you. You won't fear whether he accepts you. You won't fear relationships with him and other people. You won't fear his coming back when the love's perfected. How do I get the love perfected? Obey. Such a simple sermon. Just do right. And as you do right and commit yourself to walking, it truly is the sweetest place on earth to enjoy and have your love. His love's perfect. But when our love gets perfected, it changes everything. Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, God, for everything you've done in my life. Your love is overwhelming. Lord, I love you.